Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everybody. Crestview Country Club, great supporter of the program. We always appreciate Crestview's support of us here. Great restaurant there at Crestview, if you've never been in. Weekly features like this week, Tommy, I'm looking at the chicken cordon bleu, or a flatbread of the week, the cheesy zucchini flatbread. There's a prime rib night, I know, this week out there. All kinds of good stuff. The food, the social aspect of it is there for you. So give Crestview a call. Even if you're not a golfer, you don't want the sports aspect of it. There are all kinds of different memberships that include all the social stuff. So check it out. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. I got a text, Tommy, on the Cowboys here. It is from somebody here, and it says that Andy won playoff games and made the NFC championship five times in Philadelphia. Dallas hasn't reached any NFC championships, and they have been loaded with lots of talent. I would say this, and Andy Reid lost his job, by the way, in Philadelphia. We would be having the exact same conversation about the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy had they reached NFC championship games instead of the second round or the first round of the playoffs and not won a Super Bowl. Nobody sits back and counts championship game appearances, right, as a threshold. Maybe Super Bowl appearances, maybe. Like, maybe getting through to the Super Bowl is enough, because that's sort of the situation we have with San Francisco. But just, like, whether they win one or none or two, like, nobody cares about that.
Yeah, and I'm not even drawing parallels between Andy Reid in Philadelphia and Mike McCarthy in Dallas. It's between Andy Reid in Philadelphia and then going to Kansas City and right. Mike McCarthy in Green Bay and then going to Dallas. Those were
totally
the parallels that I was drawing. And the fact that Andy Reid didn't win Super Bowls in Kansas City until Patrick Mahomes came around.
It's a good parallel. It is a great parallel. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that Mike McCarthy is a terrible coach and he couldn't get another job and go win a bunch of games somewhere.
Mike McCarthy is a really good coach. He's got the body of work to show it.
What I'm saying is Mike McCarthy with Dak Prescott is not going to win a Super Bowl in Dallas. So if it's Super Bowl or bust, which they always say that it is, then Mike McCarthy's not going to win a Super Bowl in Dallas.
My follow-up question, which I asked you before the break, is who can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott?
So
because I'm not sure anybody can.
That's where I would start with a guy like Vrabel, because the only path I see to a Dak Prescott Super Bowl for the Cowboys is to have, like, the best defense in football and a commitment to a run game where Dak Prescott isn't the featured part of the offense.
Did Mike Vrabel win a Super Bowl with Tennessee? And I like Mike Vrabel. Don't get me wrong.
I'm talking he shouldn't have been fired in Tennessee, but I'm talking he's now also never had a quarterback as good as Dak Prescott. I mean, that's the cycle we go through in the NFL. Like, that's the silliness of – but what I'm saying is, like, stylistically for the Cowboys, they must become one of these – mega defense, like, basically,
I think,
like,
Mike Vrabel
won a Super Bowl.
And Mike Vrabel was a playoff coach in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback.
Correct.
But he had Derrick Henry running the football.
Exactly.
I think that that's a better setup for Mike Vrabel and the defense that he was able to build. That's a better setup for Mike Vrabel than going to a Dallas team with no running back whatsoever and Dak Prescott a quarterback.
They can solve running back pretty good. Enrico Dowdle's actually, I got to give, because I've been a bit of a hater. He's actually been really good lately. The problem is not this year, it's other years where the Cowboys have had at times the best or one of the best defenses in football and the best or one of the best offensive lines in football. And they haven't been able to get it done with those formulas, largely because Mike McCarthy, we'll draw another parallel, would refuse to run the ball in key moments and kept putting Dak in those situations. Right. So like this cycle and you're correct. Like we do all of this. And the reality is if you don't have a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, you're probably not going to win a Super Bowl. That's it.
Bottom line.
NFL.
And that's why McCarthy is going to ultimately, and it may not happen this season, but eventually he's going to fall on the sword and he'll be the scapegoat. He'll be the fall guy for it. In the same way that Jason Garrett was the fall guy and the scapegoat, in the same way that Wade Phillips before him was the fall guy and the scapegoat. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. When there are other glaring issues, the fact that you gave Dak Prescott $60 million and he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback, the fact that you've got a guy running the organization, and Jerry Jones is beloved by a lot of people, don't get me wrong, all of that, but he's had complete and absolute control over that roster, and he hasn't really done much to be able to get them, you know, to be able to win a championship. And so there are glaring other major issues. Like if I'm prioritizing where the issues fall in Dallas, Mike McCarthy's probably on that list, but he's nowhere near at the top of the list. But he will be the fall guy, whether it's this year, next year, or in the future.
Well, yeah, because they're not going to win the Super Bowl next year. It's fine. Look, we went down a sidebar. We didn't even intend to, and it's okay because it's really interesting, I think, for fans, because you either love the Cowboys, you hate the Cowboys. There's not really much in between. But I don't think what they're dealing with this year is all that different than Cincinnati. Cincinnati's got other issues. Makes me wonder if Zach Taylor should be in any danger, honestly. And their problem hasn't been really anything that Zach Taylor has a whole lot to do with, so I would not make a change with Zach Taylor. Cincinnati's been a little bit snake bitten in the past with injuries and everything else. They had their chance at a Super Bowl. They almost got it. And then Burrow gets hurt a lot, whatever. Organizationally, they must commit to the offensive line there. Like what the Chiefs are dealing with Mahomes this year, Joe Burrow's dealt with his entire career. Do you remember in the year they went to the Super Bowl?
Oh yeah. He was
Often he was sacked more than any quarterback in football. I don't, like,
and you're dealing with the guy coming off of, you know, injuries, like with his wrist
and they did bring in Orlando Brown. So it's not like they've done nothing, but man, and I didn't see it. And I don't think anybody saw the Lou Anarumo.
Yeah.
Defense,
to me, it's more about the defense
collapse.
Yeah. The defense is falling apart.
So crazy that they went that bad.
They gave
up
27 points to the Cooper Rush led Cowboys last night.
20, but yes, I mean, it's been week after week after week after week that it's just been a massive defensive letdown. Joe Burrow's put up better yards.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow's never played better than he's playing this year. Yeah. And they just, like, their defense has been a joke. I don't think Zach Taylor's in danger, but that would obviously be the most attractive job, like, in the history of football.
I don't think he's in any danger as long as he makes changes with at least his defensive coordinator.
Yeah, they'll have
right?
To.
Like
they'll have
Lou Anarumo's done after this year.
He's been
imagine.
So good too, yeah. And that's got to be so hard. But it is what it is. Like you got to make that change. Okay, let's talk about the Chiefs for just a second here because we're gonna have Dan Israel top of the next hour to really dig in on the Chiefs. But a couple news and notes from the Chiefs yesterday. If you missed any of it, we got news that DJ Humphrey's hamstring feels better, but they'll know after the MRI. I take that, Tommy, as just on a Tuesday right after it happens, I'm not planning on DJ Humphries playing another snap for the Chiefs. I'll put it that way. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong because I do think, even though he didn't look great, I thought he did look a little bit better than Morris and Suamataya have this year. So now if he's not there, at least for a short time, probably for a long time, what do they do now? And honestly, I don't think there is anything they can do besides run the ball. Like, I don't think there is another solution that helps them solve that problem than running the ball. And so it just becomes this question of, will they do it? And, you know, history this year tells us they will not do it. But they did it to open the game and they did it to close the game. I mean, it was not as bad as the Vegas game the week before. Still bad.
No, it was still
marginally
bad.
Better.
It was still pretty
marginally
bad.
Better.
The thing is that, you know, I don't know how much more you have to get slapped in the face you know, to realize you got to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not going to. And they're just not going to. Like, I'll believe it when I see it.
I don't know. What's the difference between thinking. Last year and this
it's
year?
It's wishful thinking to sit here and say, this is going to be the week that they've got. We've been saying that for week after week after week after week.
Is the biggest difference, though, because they did this last year. It's why I never bailed on them last year, why I actually liked their chances, is the only difference that they are healthier at receiver and they just can't help themselves?
Yes. Dan Israel said that a week ago. I mean, this was a conversation we had with him 1 week ago.
But they're not even throwing to the receivers. About they're throwing to the tight ends.
Patrick Mahomes has gotten DeAndre Hopkins worked in and Xavier Worthy worked in. Like, those two guys are getting targets.
But he was working in Rice. He was peppering Rice with targets. Yeah, like
those guys are getting targets, you know, for sure. But it's out of necessity. I think that's what happened a year ago, was out of necessity. They didn't have any other option but to run the football. And when Rashee Rice started to come along later in the season, towards the end of the regular season in the playoffs, they started giving him the ball more at that point, but they didn't have any other choice but to run the football. They didn't have anybody to be like, every time they threw the ball to MVS or Kadarius Toney or Sky Moore, they were dropping it. Every time that Travis Kelce was throwing the ball, he was dropping it. Like, Travis Kelce dealt with drops a season ago. So there was no other choice but to run the football with Isaiah Pacheco. That was the only spark in the offense until Rashee Rice came along later in the season. It was an incredibly frustrating offense, as we all remember a year ago. This year, there are more reliable options to be a pass catcher for Patrick Mahomes. And I think that you hit the nail on the head when you said they just can't help themselves. I think that's what it is. They cannot help themselves. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with a first and 10 situation. There were several plays where, like, Patrick Mahomes had nobody in the backfield with him on first down. Like, you knew that they were going to throw the football. There was not any other choice. And it might have been a screen. It might have been a quick hitter. It might have been a quick slant, whatever.
And those things in an Andy Reid offense count, right, as
sure.
a run. But
sure.
But the issue I would take with that, because that does protect Mahomes, and I understand that, the end arounds and the screens and all those things. I get it, and that's fair. But it still doesn't take advantage of the true strength of this offense, which is in the interior of the offensive line, and having Isaiah Pacheco back. Look, I am a believer, and I've said this for 2 years now, they need to be careful with Pacheco so that they can have him in the playoffs. And somebody brought that point up yesterday. It's a good point. But they also have Kareem Hunt. They have Carson Steele. They have guys that can do what they need to do in their run game.
I said it yesterday. So
Majay
Perine had a couple of good plays.
It's fine. I don't care who
carries
it.
Like, they've got depth at running back now.
You and I could carry it behind that interior line and gain 3 yards. You know what I mean? Like, they just have to do it, not because it makes their offense the most effective. The most effective offense is to run Isaiah Pacheco 20 times, and I'm okay with not doing that particular thing until the postseason. I am, because I think you got to protect Pacheco a little bit. The most important thing to protect Mahomes is to just settle for clock draining, right? Like, keep the defense off the field and limit the times Mahomes has to drive. If you're going to look, if the argument is you've got to protect Pacheco and keep him healthy for the playoffs, isn't it even more amplified that you've got to protect Mahomes and keep him healthy going into the playoffs? And I'm sorry, but dropping back 40 to 50 times a game is not the answer for that right now.
I agree with you 100%. There's nothing more frustrating than when you're in the middle of a game, and especially like in the third quarter, because it follows this formula. And this is kind of the way that everything, I know that there are weird, like, insane things that happen in each Chiefs game, but by and large, people, you know, want to say the NFL is scripted. The Chiefs follow kind of the same script where they come out, they establish the run early on. They did that last week. They come out to a lead, whatever that looks like, you know, however they get there, they have a lead of some kind. And then after halftime, the opponent adjusts. In the case of Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers, they adjusted. They get back in the game. The Chargers take the lead. And then the Chiefs find a way to pull it out at the very end. That's what has happened the last couple of weeks. And the bottom line is that they are not able to put teams away. Usually it's in the second half. The best way to do that is to control the clock, to hold on to the ball, to keep possession, to keep your defense off the field, to do all of these things that they're just, they're not doing. They either forget about it or they refuse to, or whatever the situation is, it just doesn't work. It doesn't happen that way. And they end up becoming incredibly one-dimensional, incredibly predictable. And I'm at the point now where I'm done talking about, like, this is going to be the week that they're going to do it, because they're not. They haven't, and they won't.
I would only caution you that you, like, and it's not, I shouldn't say you, because it's a lot of people, like, a lot of people also thought it was not correctable, the issues they were dealing with last year, and they got it corrected. There are still four regular season games to go. And I do think that it's correctable, and I do think they've at least got a small history of making and doing the necessary things by the postseason. And the other thing is, they're 12-1. And so, like, if they get there, I'm most worried about getting there with everything intact, the way Mahomes is taking a beating. If they get to the postseason and this version of a Chiefs team plays the Bills, let's say, there's no doubt in my mind they can beat the Bills, especially in what looks like it'll be a home game now, right? Like, they can beat the Bills. That's not that big a deal. They just got to be able to get there in one piece. That's what I'm the most concerned about. We'll see. We'll talk to Dan Israel top of the hour about it. We got one more short segment to go in this hour. We'll be right back. Don't go away. It's Albrecht and Castor at Sports Daily.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.